tripped in towards Lewandowski!
Magnificent from Cristiano Ronaldo!
Harry Kane won in England!
Ibrahimovic! Oh, he certainly made the most of that!
You're listening to the official UEFA Euro 2016 podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast to review the final for UEFA Euro 2016. Alongside me, Rob Daly, Chris Parrott. Chris, it's the early hours of the morning in France.
It is. It really is almost the morning, but it went on so late, didn't it? Extra time. Portugal, again, couldn't win a game in 90 minutes, but they can after extra time. They're the extra time kings, and they beat the host France, and they upset the odds, and they're champions of Europe for the first time.
And as a tournament, they seem to grow into it, because it was a fairly slow start, in truth.
It was. I mean, 3 points. 3 points in the group stage, in a section which had Austria, Hungary and Iceland, in which they were massive favourites to go through. Penalties to get past Poland. The only game where they truly opened up and beat someone convincingly was Wales, with those two goals. And again, against France, I think they played to their strengths. They lost Ronaldo. You thought, it's not their night, it's not his night. Maybe he will never win a major international tournament. And then, without Ronaldo, they went and won the game. And an unfancy guy who played for Swansea got shipped back to Lille on loan back in France, scores a worthy winner in the end of what was not always the greatest game to watch. I think there was so much at stake for both teams, but Eder won it for Portugal.
Let's hear that magic moment.
Here comes Eder. Not got much help. The striker who rarely scores has scored maybe the biggest goal in the history of the Portugal national team.
A simply stunning strike in the end to win it, Chris. But let's break down Portugal's 1-0 win over the much fancied and the favourites, the hosts, France. Early in the game, the main talking point, Pepe was back into the Portugal side after injury. And then we had, I don't know how early into the game it was, but a clash between Payet and Ronaldo, which left Ronaldo with what appeared to be a knee injury, and it ended the game early for their captain and main man.
It did. It was one of those. It was a perfectly fair, tough challenge from Payet. It's the sort of one footballers are used to taking, and ever so often you get injured from them. And you could see as soon as it happened, you know, Ronaldo went down, there were a few whistles. I was in the fan zone in Paris and everyone was saying, oh, Ronaldo's rolling around. But you knew he was in pain. Went off, got some treatment, came back on. And for me, you know, showed his absolute will to win and his passion for his country, because that wasn't him, you know, milking it or wanting to be on the cameras when he was going off. He was absolutely gutted. You could see that. He was distraught, in tears. And actually, really felt for him. Here's a guy,
I think a lot of people did, you know. Yeah. He was very emotional. He was very emotional all night, in truth.
He was. Actually, I think he's been quite emotional all tournament, as it's gone on, as they've got through to the round of 16, the quarterfinals, the semi-finals, and suddenly it's become clear that, okay, they might be able to win it. Lost that one on home soil, didn't he, a year after making his debut in 2004. Maybe thought he'd never get another chance. It's been heartbreak for Portugal. They've reached, what, fourth time in the last five final tournaments,
yeah,
to reach the semi-final here. Never won it, though. I mean, it really has been a golden period in terms of performance, but never quite getting across the line. Well, they did this evening. And even though he went off, Rob, Ronaldo was still quite a central figure.
He was indeed. And there was a moment when Ronaldo had the ball and he carried it through the centre circle. And that was the moment he knew,
yeah,
that his final was over. Here's what Pepe, the man of the match, had to say about Ronaldo going off so early in the game.
It was difficult because we were without our main player, the main man that could score from one moment to the next. He could have made the difference, but God gives battles to great soldiers, and we were warriors on that pitch. We said we would win it for Cristiano, and we managed to do it. We all deserved it and battled really hard. All the physios, staff, coaches, the Portuguese people, always on our side. Thank you so much. Now we have to celebrate and thank God for this wonderful day.
Ronaldo finishing the tournament with three goals in the end. Let's talk about Pepe, Chris, and we'll talk a little bit more about Ronaldo's antics and almost coach-like behaviour on the touchline and leadership we've seen this season. Yeah. But Pepe, man of the match, in the knockout stages, how good has he been?
Oh, he's been phenomenal. And you could tell why it was, A, such a blow that he couldn't play against Wales. They managed to get through it. But to have him back was massive. And actually, there are histrionics with Pepe. There are moments where it's theatrical, including at the Stade de France when he went down under a challenge. And I think that sometimes masks what a very, very good defender he is. And he had Giroud in his pocket. They dealt with Griezmann. They dealt with Payet so much that Payet got taken off quite early in the game. He was outstanding. And actually alongside him, Jose Font, I think, has been a bit of an unsung hero. Solid.
Didn't start the tournament in
Didn't
the team,
start.
Chris.
Yeah. Carvalho and Pepe started together. They've actually used all four centre-backs because they had to play Font and Alves. So it's not like it's been a especially settled team. Fernando Santos has had to pick numerous people at the back, but everyone he's picked, they've been just as solid.
And let's talk a little bit more again about Ronaldo on the touchline. We talked to Joe Walker earlier in a previous podcast about when he convinced Joao Moutinho, and it was picked up by the microphones, to take a penalty.
Yeah.
And there was a moment you were telling me about, which I wasn't aware of, where he spoke to Eder. Was it maybe at full time?
Yeah, at full time. And Adair
after the 90, I should say.
Adair said as much. He said he told me I was going to score the winning goal, and he gave me belief. And it's again that isn't somebody wanting to massage Ronaldo's ego. There's no reason that he would have said it. It's just and he was almost assistant manager like. He was right behind Fernando Santos on the edge of his technical area. He went over to Rafael Guerreiro when he got cramp and told him to get back on the pitch and to play on. It's the sort of thing that if you end up losing, it probably grates on your teammates. But, that leadership, I think teams that have had good leaders have done well in this tournament. And Ronaldo is certainly that.
I mean, it wasn't always pretty.
No.
It wasn't the prettiest of finals, I think it'd be fair to say, Chris.
No, it wasn't. I don't think Portugal aesthetically... Maybe apart from that game against Hungary when they sort of both teams went all out attack and they shared six goals. They've been very solid. They've sort of been unspectacular. But what they have is they have had a plan. Fernando Santos came into this tournament and there have been parallels because he's coached in Greece about that 2004 win when Greece were pretty defensive. But he said, I'm not going home until July the 11th.
And there was that real mentality in that squad by the end, wasn't there?
And everybody bought into it, you know. Players that don't always play that way with their clubs. You know, you look at the likes of João Mário who came in. They're a young team. So it wasn't as if they were seasoned professionals, all of them. They have got that, of course, with the likes of Pepe and players like that. But they all brought into it and they absolutely had a plan. They stuck to it and they've come out on top.
I tell you what, I loved it because Quaresma came on. Him and Ronaldo are famously best buddies. And we even saw that at full time when they were celebrating together. The gold feather that he'd shaved into his head. I absolutely loved that haircut.
You'd look fantastic with
it. Well, I couldn't pull it off, but he certainly did. So ultimately, let's talk about and dissect France a little bit and their performance overall. It was the lineup we expected. In the first half... In truth, there weren't actually that many clear-cut opportunities. Rui Patricio was outstanding throughout. But Moussa Sissoko...
Oh, yes.
I mean, we're talking about players coming into the tournament late like Font. Moussa Sissoko, was he the best player on the pitch, maybe, in the opening 45 minutes?
Yeah, he was pretty close to it in the opening 90. Must mention Lloris quickly, because I thought he was fantastic in goal as well for France. Rui Patricio, for me, was the man of the match. Pepe was imperious, but Rui Patricio made a couple of... really good saves, and also just that
confidence. It radiates out of him.
Every cross he came, he plucked it out of the sky. I mean, Sissoko, for a man who, you know, was part of the Newcastle team that got relegated, it's remarkable how well he played.
But to be picked ahead of, say, Anthony Martial, who's been a Premier League revelation, Kingsley Coman, who has been sensational for Bayern in the Champions League, and they go for a guy who, like you say, hasn't had the best of seasons with Newcastle, and he's been in a team that's predominantly not won anything.
Nope, and he actually almost played that Pogba role. He was powerful, those bursts forward. Yeah, there was one run when he didn't dribble past them. He sort of powered past about three players, yeah. and then ultimately it came to nothing.
And there's some bruises in that Portugal midfield.
Yeah, there are.
And Sanchez is a unit. And
they're yeah. fairly savvy as well in the way that they play. But he was. And there was a moment, I think, times in the first half and then midway through the second half when I thought, France are going to score here. They were on top. He was picking up the ball in midfield. But it never quite happened, mostly due to Rui Patricio. We've spoken a lot on the podcast about L'Equipe's, you know, very hard ratings. Well, Rui Patricio got a 9.
Did he?
Yes.
Well, he made one outstanding save in the first half, in particular, a header to deny Antoine Griezmann. Let's hear from Antoine Griezmann speaking after the game to UEFA.com.
It's cruel and magnificent at the same time. We've lived through some extraordinary moments and the saddest moments as well. We have to learn. But tonight we gave it all and we have no regrets. I'm proud of the squad, proud of everybody. Now we have to come back stronger.
Very humble, actually, there from Antoine Griezmann, who had that heady chance in the first half, and he had another one later in the game, which he at least should have got on target, probably.
Yeah, and you have to feel sorry for him, don't you? 6 goals here. 20-odd, nearly 30 goals for Atletico, loses in the...
It was his 70th game of the season,
yeah,
apparently.
You know, Ronaldo has won the UEFA Champions League and UEFA Euro 2016, and Griezmann has lost both finals. And it's... and he's probably... Well, he has been the best player here. He's, you know, he's been sparkling. He's got 2 assists as well. And it just didn't quite happen for him. And almost he summed up France's night, I think. They were favourites for a reason. They never quite got going, and when they did have those opportunities, had one gone in, you really feel that belief and confidence would have, you know, maybe taken them over the line. They might have scored 1 or maybe even 2 more, but they couldn't get beyond Rui Patricio and Portugal. You know, we heard from Ronaldo on the pre-final podcast, though. They were very, very confident coming into this game, Portugal.
Well, Ronaldo, didn't he say, we heard him on the last show, we believe we're going to win?
Yeah, we did. He said, I believe on Sunday it'll be the first time Portugal win a major competition, and he was proved absolutely right.
I mean, did Deschamps twist a little too early? He took off Payet, who granted has looked a little bit more tired into the tournament, and then he took off Giroud for Gignac as well. Did he make those changes too early? Right call, big call from him?
Big call. If Gignac turns his man and doesn't hit the post and puts it into the back of the net, then Didier Deschamps is...
right to the end.
Is right to the end. Payet was an interesting one because he was the best player in the group stage. You wonder if the sheer amount of games he's played just maybe caught up with him. He wasn't quite at his best. They took Griezmann into the middle in the knockout stages and it worked. And actually, when he came into the middle, I think Payet lost a little bit of his influence on the game.
Ah, that's a good point. There's certainly a parallel there.
And you know, maybe it's a coincidence, but you know, that was sort of where Payet would have been picking up the ball. So, you know, going forward, Didier Deschamps has said that he wants to be in charge for FIFA World Cup qualifying for Russia. You know, he's going to have to fit those two players in his system. It will take a while, I think, for France to get over this.
When you lose on home soil, I mean, you think it happened to Portugal in 2004, and I was at the start of the game, I was even thinking of Bayern in the UEFA Champions League final to Chelsea when they were so confident going into that one.
Exactly, and there was a sense of that this team had, and it still has, by the way, restored a lot of pride's the wrong word, but you know, France has really been hurt, I think, over the last year, 18 months. And this city tonight in the fan zone was brilliant. The atmosphere was fantastic. Even at the end, you know, you really felt that there's a 250,000 Portuguese people living in Paris, because it wasn't quite as loud as had France won, but there were a lot of Portuguese fans, and it was them driving around tooting their horns and them on the Champs-Élysées, and it's not quite in Paris, despite the fact that France lost.
It's only a quick podcast. But Chris, your player of the tournament, would it be Antoine Griezmann?
Yeah, it has to be. And I actually thought it would be whoever won this, would it be Ronaldo if Portugal won? But because Ronaldo went off so early, it's Griezmann. I think he was the, when it really mattered in the knockout stages, he was the best player here.
Yeah, and he seemed completely unfazed against Germany. Do you have a tournament highlight? We're going to hear some of them in a moment. But do you have a favourite moment harping back throughout the course of the 5 weeks that we've been here in Paris?
I think it might be the Northern Ireland fans against Germany singing Will Griggs on Fire. the whole game incessant, yeah, an hour afterwards. And actually then back to the fan zone tonight, that they played the song and all the French fans were singing it. And you're like, okay, you've made a big impact then. Because it was the tournament for underdogs. You had Iceland, of course. You had Northern Ireland. You had Wales. And ultimately, you had Portugal in the final.
Chris, thank you very much for joining us on the podcast over the course of the 5 weeks.
Pleasure. I'll miss it. Maybe we'll do... No, we can't. It's over.
Well, we need to go to bed. That's a good point. Getting really late. We will leave you on the final edition of the official UEFA Euro 2016 podcast with some of the best moments from the past 5 weeks.
Ali, Sturridge! Coleman goes ahead of him. Houlihan's ball in! It's wonderful! It's wonderful! It's fantastic! It's Brady for Ireland!
Pelé! Italy are in the quarterfinals. They soaked up all Spain could throw at them.
Wilfie Sigurdsson.
Chance opening up and it's in!
In the middle. Vokes! Oh! I don't believe it! It is the greatest night in Wales football history! And Belgium are battered!
Jonas Hector. And he scores! Just got it beyond Gigi Buffon. And what is it about this Germany team in penalty shootouts?
And as he thought about coming and didn't, and Portugal go in front. Who else but Cristiano Ronaldo? A towering leap. Wales switched off and to their cost.
And Pogba's lifted it in, away by Neuer, and pumped in by Griezmann. Paris, brace yourself.
Thanks for listening to the official UEFA Euro 2016 podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes or follow us on SoundCloud.